Hello, Christina. Welcome to Outsite Radio Hours.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're very welcome. I really appreciate your time. I've been a big fan of the group ever since stumbling across you guys at a South by Southwest showcase years ago, back in the Spanx for the Memories days.
Wow.
I think it was at the Continental Lounge or something like that, south of the...
Continental Club, right.
Continental Club, yeah. Yeah, and there was a stand-up bass player in the group then, as I recall.
Still is?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not the same one.
Not the same one, yeah. I would say there's a different one, actually. The one you have in the band now, he's been there a while. He's actually stayed at our house. My wife and I hosted part of you guys last time you played in Detroit.
Well, you're a brave man.
Yeah, you know, I have to confess, you're right. I didn't realize how brave I was. But fortunately, the Jägermeister held out, and I wasn't fired the next day. I did show up to work in time, so. But I've been playing for the audience tracks from God's Favorite Band, and really enjoy it. I totally agree with what you've been quoted as saying, that you can be a fan of gospel music without ever stepping foot into a church. And this doesn't shake my atheistic beliefs, but I love the album track to track.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just great music, especially if you're already a fan of American roots music, because this is where it all comes from, you know? So it's no surprise that people like gospel music without having, you know, holding on to any particular religious dogma, because this is where it all began. Blues, jazz, rock and roll, hip-hop, you know, they all come from gospel music.
And I understand some of the roots of this album and the works on it are tied to something I didn't know about called a Sunday morning gospel brunch that happened in Austin during, I guess, the last decade. Is that true?
Actually, it would have been close to when we first started playing. Let's see. I guess we probably started in 95. Doing the gospel brunches. We did them for 3 years, pretty much every single Sunday. We take all our gear down there and set up and do an 11 o'clock show and then a 1 o'clock show or something like that. It's been a long time. But yeah, 3 years.
So
first
is this
gospel brunch in Austin.
Is this something the Spankers started or it was already going and you participated in?
As far as I know, that was the first one. Now there's one on every corner, but yeah, I do think that was the first official Sunday gospel brunch in Austin.
Does it happen at the same place? Where does it happen at?
Now, well, they don't have them at La Zona Rosa. They haven't since we did them there. But various other places around town have them. Stubbs has one, I believe, and I see them in the listings every once in a while. So, yeah, other people are doing them for sure.
Oh, I meant, like, every now and then I go to Austin for a week or so. Like, if I was in town on a Sunday, where might I find it with the Spankers are playing?
Well, we don't do one. We did one for 3 years, and we stopped.
Oh, I
about
see.
95 to 98, we did one.
Okay. Now I'm on the same page with you. So then some of the music we hear on this album is what people would have experienced live that were fortunate enough to check that out?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the repertoire on the record was culled directly from those gospel brunch days.
Excellent, because some of the stuff that I really like on the album, like to hear from you on, is... Each Day and Last Mile of the Way, which are some of the ones that your vocal delivery really shines on. And why did you pick those songs? Were they important to you before this brunch?
Last Mile, I don't think we did that back in the brunch days. I don't know whether I'd heard it at that point. It's a little bit later gospel music. We listened to a lot of stuff from the 20s, 30s, 40s. I think that was a Sam Cooke tune, and I'm not positive, but I think that might have been a little bit later, the origin of that. When we were picking songs for the shows that we were doing, that we were recording with the ultimate goal of putting out a record, a lot of them were grabbed from those old gospel brunch days. And some of them were a little bit newer, but each day, I think, I either did that with the Spankers way back when, or I did it. I had an all-female gospel group for a few years. We were strictly an Austin band, and maybe we did that. Now I can't remember. Get the two confused, but yeah, most of those songs are songs that we've been playing one form or another for a while.
So tell me about this all-female gospel group you had for a while. This is the first I remember ever hearing about that.
Well, we were called the Jubilettes, and we were just basically what it sounds like, all-girl gospel group. We played around Austin. We played happy hour at Stubbs for a couple years. Then we moved it over to the Electric Lounge, where the Spankers were playing every Wednesday night, so I would play with my girl group, like a happy hour thing, and then have a little break, and then get right back up on stage with the Spankers at the same venue. The Jubilettes played, we played around town. We were never a touring outfit or anything like that. I think we kept it going for about 3 years. It's difficult to work with an all-female group. People always say, oh, how can you go out on the road with all those guys? I can't even imagine getting in a van with six other women, and I just can't even imagine it. Traveling around the country, it's a much different dynamic. Much different.
Was any of the Jubilettes ever recorded? Is that out there and available?
It was recorded. We had a cassette tape. Yes, it was that long ago. And nothing was ever released on CD or anything like that, or put out on a label. It was all, of course, self-produced kind of thing. But I'll send you one if you give me your address.
Well, right on. I'm going to follow up on that. And going back a little bit to God's Favorite Band, obviously, as a musician, you love this style of music and this body of work. There's also a healthy dose of, I guess, irreverence is the right word in here, from like the It Ain't Necessarily So and Volkswagen Thing. And I love that you threw in this Violent Femmes cover, Jesus Walking on the Water.
Uh-huh.
So was that always part of it from the early days, this sort of comedic approach as well?
Well, Wham-O wrote Volkswagen Thing years ago, when we were doing the gospel brunches, and that was part. We did that at the gospel brunch. There was a certain amount of irreverence back then too. We would do songs like Porter Wagner's. Not Porter Wagner. Who am I thinking of? Now I'm going to totally space the name. But some of the old country gospel stuff was really morbid. With lyrics like "She lay on a cold marble slab at the morgue," thousands viewed her but none knew her name, and then "Kneeling Drunkard's Plea" was another one. And "Lord have mercy on me," the kneeling drunkard's plea, the drunkard's son who goes home to discover his mom's died in his absence while he was on the drinking spree. And so, I obviously those songs were written with much reverence, and they were sung in all seriousness, but they just kind of sound silly and corny to us now. We would do some of those. Gospel lyrics can often be very amusing, even though that they weren't. That wasn't the original intention. I think Shadrach from the record is a particularly funny song. But of course, the people that wrote them in all sincerity. But some things just don't age as well as others. We listen to them now, and it sounds kind of corny or amusing to us. But, it was always a show that was gospel music for a secular audience. It was never an overly reverent show, although they're just like any Spanker show, I think. Whether we're doing gospel material or not, you're going to have funnier moments and more reverent moments. And that's you know, kind of what we've always been about, no matter what we're tackling. So
gospel music for secular audience. This makes me think of another album I've been playing tracks from today for the audience, Mommy Says No. Last time I had the fortune to catch you guys live, actually I was in Austin. Again, it was on the other side of the river, sort of like a hippie coffee house where they like had a coffee operation going in there. They were grinding coffee and packaging it in the back as you guys were playing.
Yeah, Rudamaya.
And this album is one that I have to say has grown on me. I didn't appreciate it as first when I first heard it, but tracks like Be Like You and even Don't Turn Out the Light, which is kind of funny, I appreciate more now. Do you see it as sort of different in the discography for the Spankers as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a children's record. We wanted to make a children's record that would be enjoyable for adults, because so much children's music is just grates on one's nerves. And kids, you know, if they hear a song they like, they're likely to want to hear that song over and over and over again. And you have all this stuff that's just really, I don't know, I think it's just a little too dumbed down, you know. I don't understand why children can't listen to good music, too. You know, and why everything has to be the ABC song or whatever. It's irritating. And since most of our fans are adults, some who happen to have children, we just thought it made sense to make a children's record that could bear repeated listenings by adults. Mommy Says No is one of my favorite records that we've put out. I think the songwriting is really great. The production, sonically, I think it's our best album to date. I'm really proud of that record. So, you know, I understand people, I shy it away from it. They still do at our merch table because, you know, they're thinking, well, it's children's music, but it's definitely not your typical children's record.
I would totally agree, and that's why I meant gospel music for secular audience. It's like children's music for adults. I totally agree, and I also agree with you on the production values on it. Though I have to say, there's amazing stuff like the version of You Say got my mojo working back on the Spanx from Memories album. That is, I think, incredible, regardless of the production values.
Well, that would have been on Mercurial, I think.
Yeah, I think it's yes. Yeah. Yes, so maybe you have me right. Then I stand corrected. I have as you know, there's a lot of Asylum Street Spankers records and other than Hot Lunch, I think I have all of them and they're all spread out here.
Yeah, I have to look sometimes myself to remember what songs are on which record.
A Song with No Words is what I was thinking of from right. Spanx for the Memories.
Right.
Before we go, I would like to know, we've been talking a lot about the recent past and the last couple albums. What's yet to happen? What are the exciting things in the future for the Spankers that we're going to be experiencing?
Other than Wham-O's sex change operation, there's not much going on. We are about to start recording again, and we have finally amassed enough recording equipment that we now have more recording equipment than the Beatles had to do Sgt. Pepper's, I'm pretty sure. So we're going to start self-recording and self-producing. So our next record will have been recorded and mixed ourselves. So it'll be like a studio record. It's not going to be live, but we're venturing into somewhat new territory for ourselves. I mixed the gospel record, which is my first attempt to do anything like that.
Well, very well
done.
That
was a new learning experience. I'd never done anything like that. I had to learn about EQ and compression and all that, and then have to learn how to use the computer program that you do it all, the mixing board and all that, and the Tascam DM 3200 miles Nemesis. We're about to meet again. So yeah, that'll be something new for us. And there are a couple guys in the band who actually went to school and studied recording engineering a little bit. So we've got that on our side. So we're about to go in and cut a bunch of new songs that haven't been recorded yet.
Well,
I guess we'll probably have that out in the fall. And we're just touring and doing what we do.
And I hope you keep doing it, because I love it. And I know others do, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Christina, in parting, could you do me a favor and remind the audience who you are and what they're listening to?
Sure. I'm Christina from the Asylum Street Bankers, and you're listening to Outsite Radio Hours.
Thank you.